Praise the Lord. Can I hear some amen? Yeah. How about a louder amen? Can I hear some amen? Amen. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. I want to remind you of the grace that has been poured upon your life through your mother, because without moms, we would not be existing. We would not be existing. And she gave birth to you and raised you. And she's been praying for you. What an amazing thing to remembering mom. You know, a lot of elderly mothers are kind of like locked down, and they have been staying home for last almost 2.5 months now. So sometimes I call my elderly mom and really concerned about her, but she always is concerned about me. That's just the way moms are, and they are incredible human beings. We just want to praise the Lord for moms and give thanks to the Lord. Today, a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and we want to look at a beautiful story. And when I say beautiful story, I'm not just feeling little, I want to spring-like, but literally in the scripture, Jesus says, this person's life is a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Can you believe that? I don't know what matters to you at one day. One day, people will evaluate your life. People will look at your life, and I suppose my children and my family and perhaps the church that I serve, they will evaluate my life. And I think those opinions are important. And I don't know how long they will remember. I don't know. But what really matters is what God has to say at the end, isn't it? It's what God has to say about your life and at the end. And this story of this woman who poured an expensive perfume. She broke the alabaster jar, and she does really weird thing, peculiar thing. She let down her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus. This particular story in the scripture is highlighted. I mean, highlighted like exponentially. Okay? How do you say that? I say that because this same story that is written in John chapter 12 is also written in other Gospels, Matthew and Mark. And the Luke one is not the same story, but Matthew and Mark, there is this comment at the end of this story that Jesus himself saying, listen to this, wherever this gospel is preached, the story of this woman needs to be told. I mean, how do you like that? Wait a minute. Is there anyone that you can think of in the scripture that Jesus and or God is basically saying, wherever the gospel is preached, the story of this person must be preached? And, you know, I think about it and I can't think of any. But this woman, probably a young lady, and in John's gospel, her name is Mary. And Mary is not an unknown name because we see her in different places in the Bible. John chapter 11, which we studied extensively, very, very significant chapter. And we saw this whole family of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary family in Luke chapter 10. And this person's story must be told everywhere wherever the gospel is told. So can I just ask you to think about these two questions, and I'll come back to these questions, two questions at the end. What was she doing? What was she doing? Number two, how was she able to do something peculiar and crazy like that? Okay, so I want to begin with that. And title of the message for today is Anointed the Feet of Jesus. It's the feet. And in the scripture, the feet is always related to the Gospels. In the book of Isaiah, Romans chapter 10. Do you recall how beautiful, there is the word, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings good news. right? Remember that, right? And it's the feet of Jesus that was anointed. One more place that I recall that the feet are related to the gospel is Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul says, put on the full armor of God, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The feet. Put on the shoes of readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So interesting if you think about it. And this feet of Jesus that was being anointed by Mary was on the way to Calvary, the gospel itself. Second thing, which is altogether different thing, but not unrelated, related to the significance of the feet is, in Palestinian culture, feet needs to be washed by the slaves. And John chapter 12 is a feet story, and John chapter 13 is feet story. Story of Jesus, it's really magnificent, knowing who he is and what kind of circumstance he's in. He washes the feet of the disciples. And he says something significant as, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So that as an introduction, I want to go into John chapter 12, 1 through 11 story. And what I'm trying to do is, I think you pick out this story from the scripture and talk about this particular story apart from the rest of the scripture, still significant, but you can't do that because this story has a context. John chapter 12, which means it follows John chapter 11, which is related to the family of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And I think about this family. Would you think with me? What is the greatest blessing a family could have? I personally think a family really coming to know the Lord. Lazarus was dead and he came alive. I mean, how crazy is that, right? How many people experienced that? What about Martha? Martha actually heard Jesus proclaiming, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And if you believe in me, you will never die. Do you believe this? As that moment, I believe it is that, as that moment, Spirit of God gave her, opens her eyes and gave her conviction that, yes, Lord, you are the Christ and Son of the living God who came into this world. She was able to confess that. What about the youngest one, Mary? To say the least, she experienced the tears of Jesus. Right? The cruel, remember that? The silent, bursting, compassionate field, love of Christ. The entire family was blessed. So that's John chapter 11. John chapter 12, which is the second half of the gospel, we finally get to the last second half. And I've been explaining this again and again and again, and I need to explain it again because it is important. John is made up of 21 chapters, but first half has to do with almost three and a half years of his ministry, entire life of Jesus, starting from in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God, all the way to John chapter 12, which covers last 1 week or the Passion Week and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And get this. The Passion Weeks begins at Bethany. Story of this woman pouring everything at the feet of Jesus. I don't think that's accident. I think it is very, very intentional. John chapter 12, the story of a woman responding to something. Now, we're gonna explain this. We're gonna see what is she doing, but I think she's responding. She is honoring. She is celebrating. We sang today, wow, so worthy. I love that word. Is Jesus worthy? What does that mean? Let me explain this. When you say, oh, that's worth it, or we say, that's not worth it, can you come in, spend a couple hours with me? I'm busy. When you're saying when you're busy, that means it's not worth going. That's what you mean. Okay? Worth means this. Worth means equal value. Say you pay $100 to buy an item. Sometimes you say, oh, that was totally worth it. Sometimes you say, I don't know what that was worth it. Equal value, right? And when we say Jesus is worthy of what? Worthy of your Sundays? Worthy of your part-time Christianity? Is that what you mean? I don't think that's what you mean. I think when you say worthy and worshiping God, you mean worthy of everything. Everything. I think that's what you mean. So she's responding, I think, because he is worthy. Okay, otherwise, she would not do that. Okay, so John chapter 12 begins with this story. And I want to explain something. It begins with this a time indicator. John does that, and this time indicator, this particular time indicator, is very, very important. And it says 6 days before the Passover. I mean, a lot of times we don't even pay attention to things like that, but you must, because that's a very, very important time indicator where the author is telling that the life of Jesus is only 1 week left. Now that gives a context, doesn't it? Right? So his death is imminent. So in other words, the entire rest of the rest of the book, and particularly this chapter, starting with this chapter, you have to see the shadow of the cross. Otherwise, you're completely missing it, completely missing out the true context of the story. So under the shadow of the cross itself, 6 days before Jesus's death, and Jesus come to Bethany, and I think about time indicator. This morning I woke up, and I thought about I don't know whether you do that. Sometimes you sleep really well, and you try to figure out what day is it today. And I woke up like that today. What day is? Oh, it's Lord's Day. Okay, and think about, wow, what's going on in the world? I totally forgot about pandemic. But when I woke up, oh, pandemic, right? And thought about time indicator. What is God doing right now? What is God doing? I could have get up, oh, man, I have to get up in this pandemic. When is this going to end? What about the jobs? What about the food? Am I safe? Healthcare system? All that. But I didn't think about that today. I thought about time indicator 6 days before the Passover, just as in John chapter 4, Jesus met this woman, Samaritan woman, on the way to Galilee. Do you remember that? He could have gone totally different way like the rest of the people, but he went through Samaria, and in an odd time at noon, he met this woman whose life was completely wasted. She had 5 husbands. Now, living a immoral life, she is kind of like given up on her life, sounds like, and she's bitter, and she's very, very mad at men. Like, can you imagine divorcing 5 times, betrayed 5 times? I think you would say, I had it, right? And that specific time indicator, Jesus and this woman met at Sukkah in front of that well, and she became a believer. Time indicator. Now, 6 days before Jesus going to the cross, he comes to Bethany to see this family, and think about the time indicator, people. Okay? So it is rather noteworthy that his final Passion Weeks begins at Bethany, which I think it is the gospel response. It's the climactic response. John MacArthur calls the climactic response of love and hate. He's too radical. Yeah. But I think the gospel is radical. Bethany was a special place. Okay, so what is the setting of the story? Setting of the story, verse 2. So the family, gave a dinner, special dinner, or kind of banquet. And the day that Jesus arrived at Bethany was probably Saturday. It's good for you to know, okay? Because the day he's going to be crucified is Friday, and Passover Thursday. 6 days before, that makes Jesus arrive at Bethany on Saturday. So it was after the Sabbath, and they were having a major meal on Saturday at someone's house in celebration, in honor of Jesus who just raised Lazarus. Small thing? I don't think so. It's a huge thing. Huge thing. Someone has resurrected. And this is in celebratory and honoring of Christ. And what was happening? There was a major dinner was going on. And Martha was serving. And Lazarus was sitting with Jesus. It may sound very, very lame and not important, but I think it is important. These are people who met Christ. And Martha was serving. Martha was always serving, like some of you are wired up, right? But this time, Martha that we see in John chapter 12 is very different than Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we saw, remember, if you remember, she invited Jesus, and then she got distracted, and she got upset at her sister, and she was worried, and she complained to her own guest, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, can you tell my sister Mary to come and help me out? Can you see? I'm just so, like, busy and distracted, which is kind of embarrassing if you think about it. But this time, she is serving quietly, silently. I think that's maturity, sanctification. What about Lazarus? Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, who was ill probably before, and he was, and now he's resurrected and he's welling up and he's sitting with Jesus. I don't think that's a lame picture. Can you imagine your family serving the Lord and your dad is sitting next to Jesus and just serving the church? I think that's a great picture. What about Mary? The key, the highlighted story of this particular account is Mary. Verse 3 says, Mary, therefore, took a pound of an expensive perfume or ointment, okay, and then she anointed the feet of Jesus. Now get this, it was an expensive alabaster jar, and she broke it. It's more expensive than Louis Vuitton, okay? It's very, very expensive. How expensive was it? As expensive as 300 denarii. What does that mean? One denarii is what one man makes in a year. How much do you make? Don't tell me, okay? How much do you make a day? Let's just say $100 for the calculation's sake. $100. You work 8 to 10 days and you make $100. Maybe I should raise up a little bit. Yeah, $100, okay. And you work 300 days. That's about $30,000. But that means you did not spend a penny with that. Minus holidays, minus Sabbath, and you work 300 days, and you collect everything, and you saved up, and that's $30,000. That's an enormous amount of money for this particular time. In other words, this is a family treasure. We just sang it. Why is Jesus worth it? Because he's our treasure, right? So it was a very, very expensive perfume, and it was one pound, 1 liter, Roman pound, which is about 11 ounces. Now you get that, because a can of soda is about 12 ounces. So it's a small can of expensive perfume, which is a large amount if you think about it. And what she did was she poured, not a drop, not few drops, but she broke the bottle and poured everything. Okay. I'm saying this slowly because I want you to hear it. This fragrant or pure nard is from East India plant, which yielded a juice of a delicious odor. You could picture whatever the odor you want. It was a delicious odor. Can you imagine? This is expensive perfume. has a delicious odor. It was poured at the feet of Jesus, and the whole house was filled with fragrance. And I was imagining, if she wiped that with her hair was delicious odor. Wow, isn't that wonderful? When your life is given to Christ, you smell great. You smell wonderful, right? Not only that, she did something a little bit more that needs a little bit more explanation, something peculiar. She was a young lady, probably not married. And after pouring that expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus, she let down her hair. I assume she had a long hair, like a Jewish young lady. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. Can you picture that? Okay, there was a feast going on, and it was a low table. And just like the Palestinian culture, people were reclining, so like on a side like that. So the body and the head is close to the table and the food, and the feet is away from the table. So feet is easy to get to. And Mary comes in, Mary who experienced the extravagant power of God and the grace of God of raising her brother from death. And she takes out this treasure, either of her own or of the family, and she pours everything at the feet of Jesus, and then she uses her hair to wipe his feet. Very, very peculiar. Very, very special. Right? What was she doing, and how was she able to do it, and why did Jesus so highlight this story and this life? We're going to explain that. So that's what Mary did. But in this story is to be contrasted with the response of this another person who was close to Jesus. His name was Judas. And as long as we say Judas, a lot of people say, oh, you just cross it out. Oh, that's not me. Okay, well, you know, you listen to this. And it is interesting because Judas's response is highlighted in this story. If you notice, all right? So what did he do? Judas Iscariot said, but, contrasting to this fragrant offering of Mary, Judas Iscariot got upset, indignant, and he asked, why did you do that? Why did you waste this? That's the word, waste. Worth it or wasted? I think they're related. Oh, I pay $100 and that was a waste. We say things like that. Or you say, I only paid $100. It was totally worth it. But what Mary did, Judas says, that was a waste. Why did you waste it? We could have used that $30,000 or $50,000 and do a great ministry for the church and for the poor. It sounds so spiritual. Love the church, love the ministry, sounds so pragmatic or altruistic, philanthropic, whatever. He sounds so great, but you know what? It's so interesting. The next verse, John says, but he say this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. I just want to pause. I really want to pause. I really want to pause because I think I always felt this is a significant place in the Bible. Significant place in the Bible. What is a thief? A thief is someone who steals someone else's. That's what a thief is. And Bible is saying Judas is a thief. Thief of whom? Thief of God. That's what it means, people. If this is the climactic response to the gospel in the beginning of Passion Week, if this story is meant to be highlighted enough to be told everywhere the gospel is told, naturally his story is told everywhere the gospel is told. So I think this is the gospel story too. Isn't it interesting? What Mary did is condensed in one verse, and what Judas doing is listed in three different verses. I think it's kind of interesting. So he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. having charge of the money bag, and he used to help himself, and I used to translate that as he used to help himself, or he used him. He used God. Okay. That's the response. What about Jesus' response? There is Mary's action, and then Judas' response, which I think is meant to be contrasted. It is naturally very, very contrasting. But I think Jesus' response, remember what he says at the end is what matters, right? But this is what Jesus said in verse 7, leave her alone. In other words, Jesus is saying, let her continue. Wait, isn't she wasting? Let her continue. If she's wasting, let her continue to waste her life. Right? Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. What does that mean? NIV renders in an easier way. Leave her alone. She's preparing for my death. Whoa. Jesus is on his way to Calvary in 6 days, and I'm sure the hour has come. And Jesus knew that hour has come. The time indicator has come. Do you mean to say Mary understood what was happening? Do you mean to say Mary understood the death of Jesus or being crucified? The word crucified is used in the gospel before this thing happens. Do you mean to say Jesus knew that, Mary knew that Jesus is on the way to the cross and to die? Interesting, isn't it? I just did a little bit of study, and this particular story is repeated in Matthew and Mark. Now, it's kind of interesting because Matthew and Mark was written quite a few years before John. And if I am correct in terms of estimating the date, the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, was written in 60s, 50s. Do you agree? Okay. Doesn't matter. Okay, 50s and 60s, after 20, 30 years of Jesus' death, which is very, very close to, you know, his life. But John's gospel is written much later, 90s. Okay, so another 30 years spent. But story is amazingly, amazingly similar. I picked Mark's gospel, which is, this story is in chapter 14. I want to explain something. Mark is made up of 16 chapters, and it's written in chapter 14. After Jesus repeatedly said to his disciples, Son of Man will be captured and betrayed, and then go through sufferings, and will put to death and be crucified. So that was repeated a couple times, and this story happens in the 14th chapter of Mark's gospel, and this is what this is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, verse 6. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? And she has done a beautiful thing. Same thing in Matthew. Do you know of any place in the Bible where Jesus and or God says, wow, he has done a beautiful thing to me? But here, Jesus literally says, leave her alone. Let her continue. But wait a minute, isn't he wasting? Isn't she wasting 300 denarii, $50,000, which could be used for a good purpose of doing ministry and doing church? But not according to Jesus' view. She's done a beautiful thing to me. Isn't that what matters? To me. Okay. The word beautiful is kalos. Kalos is beautiful. You're going to learn that in Greek. Yeah, kalos is beautiful. And it also means good. It also means true. She has done a good thing to me. She has done a truthful thing to me. What do you mean truthful? I think that means Jesus sees her heart kind of like panned out through this section. Okay. She was anointed my body to prepare for my burial. I'm guessing, I'm speculating, within the boundary of the teaching of the scripture, which I think is allowed. We need to do that. How was she able to do this extravagant wasting of her treasure, right? $50,000 probably meant her lifetime saving. Lifetime saving. How was she able to do that? I think it was the admiration, adoration, and I think it was the love. I think it's the, you know, I love him, and I want to just give everything to him, kind of thing. I think that's what it is. How did she get there? I think I thought about this story, and I think the place you begin is where you find Mary in all the places. It is at the feet of Jesus. Now, could you think with me? At the feet of Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, she was at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus is saying. Can you think with me? What do you think Mary heard Jesus speaking from his lips? What are some verses? Here are some verses that I thought of. Son of man must be lifted up. Just like the serpent lifted up, Son of man must lift it up. You know why? Because God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have her everlasting life. Son of man did not come to condemn the world, but Son of man came to save the world. Son of man must be lifted up. Son of man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think Mary heard rather clearly that Son of Man must be put to death and die. She heard it clearly. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it's going to produce many seed. I am the kernel of wheat. I am the Son of Man. And Son of Man must be put to death as a ransom. What's a ransom? Maybe she understood. Just like a lamb need to put to death and substitute so that there be a cleansing of sin. Is that what she meant? Is that what he means? She was thinking. But she was at the feet of Jesus, listening. So what kind of attitude did she have? Her head was always at the feet of Jesus. Her hair was at the feet of Jesus, meaning head was always at the feet of Jesus. That means prostrated and low and humble attitude. That's a good place to be, isn't it? You're close to Jesus, listening to the word of God, and you have a humble, hungry attitude. You're supposed to go out and serve, but she didn't care. She has chosen what is better. And she was at the feet of Jesus and listening. What did she experience? She experienced her entire family being transformed. Martha became a Christian. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha said, yes, Lord. Yes, Kyrios. Yes, Lord. You are the Christ and Son of God who came into this world. Mary knew that was Christ. Mary knew this is Jesus. I am, ego eimi, the resurrection. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. Mary heard it. Mary heard it. Mary heard it. And she experienced the entire family being transformed. What else did she experience? Mary experienced something I think it is very, very precious, the tears of Jesus. The true heart and compassion of Jesus. It's not a dry thing. The cruel, that bursting, silent tears coming out of his deep soul of Jesus. She experienced it. Not only that, she saw the resurrection. I wonder whether Mary knew about resurrection. But based on all these Bible study, I don't think it's a stretch to say she may have believed and understood it. Now, whatever the case may be, because we don't have any definitive answer to whether she knew or not, but what about her action? How she was she able to do it? Unless she saw that was worth it rather than a waste. Do you agree, people? The greater mercy you experience, the greater love you will show. Do you remember that? Why don't we respond? Because we don't know. We don't experience the love. So Mary, starting at the feet of Jesus, with what kind of attitude? At the feet of Jesus, with humility. What did she experience? Entire transformation of her family. Death coming to life. What did she experience? The very lacrimal gland tears of Jesus, which I think it is amazing if you think about it. What did she hear? The Son of Man must be put to death, must be lifted up as a ransom for many. I think she knew. I think she knew. That's what Jesus say. She is preparing for my burial. She's preparing for my burial. And then in Mark chapter 14, adds on one more verse. Listen to this. In that context, listen to this. This is Jesus himself saying, truly, truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed, this gospel, wasn't he talking about this death and story of Mary? Wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Now, could you think with me? Oh, okay. I guess Jesus is recognized that that's a nice story. I think it's more than that, don't you think? I guess Jesus was happy with what she was doing. I don't think that's what it says here. I think it's much more than that. When he said, wherever the gospel, this gospel is in preached in the whole world, I guess Jesus knew the gospel will be preached in the whole world, and this story of a woman will be preached everywhere. What does that mean? You know, this week I was thinking about that just as I was driving, taking a walk, studying. I was thinking about that. What does that mean, Lord? And then I realized, wait a minute, did Jesus say gospel? Do you mean to say Jesus used the word gospel? Evangelion. Yes, he did, actually. And I did some research. And Jesus used the word gospel in the beginning of the gospel and at the end of the gospel. So interesting. Jesus specifically used the word evangelion, good news. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when he started his ministry, this is what he said. The time is done. Time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in this gospel. Wait. What is he saying? Time is fulfilled because Messiah has come. And the kingdom of God is here because the king is here. That's him. And he says, repent and believe in the gospel, which is himself. That's the beginning. What about the very end? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, as he was giving the great commission in Mark and gospel, this is what he says, go into the whole world. There it is. Go into the whole world and proclaim the evangelion, the gospel, to the whole creation. Isn't it interesting? He begins with the word gospel and he ends with the word gospel. And he referred to him coming, his death, his resurrection is the gospel. And he's telling the disciples to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. And right before that, in Mark chapter 14, he said, wherever this gospel is preached, proclaimed, the story of what she has done will be proclaimed as well. So what does that mean? To say the least, I think, the story of Mary is the gospel story, to say the least. It's the gospel response. Death and resurrection, knowing who he is, what he has done on my behalf. All of that is the gospel. But story of Mary responding with everything externally, it's not an empty talk. It's not an empty talk. It's not a calculating, cynical, wasted it kind of talk. But she gave everything externally. What about the hair? You know what? Can I just explain something? I know you have a long hair, right? So just because you have a long hair, you're going to wipe someone else's feet? No, you don't do that. In Palestinian culture, hair of a young lady, they always have the hair up. You never let down your hair. That's just a culture because hair represented dignity. Yourself, deep self-respect. Who you are. Your self-worth. That's what hair represented. And on John chapter 12, Jesus was reclining and on his way to the Calvary, and Mary comes in. She let down her hair. She let down herself. She let down her dignity. She let down my worth. My worth is at your feet, Lord. My worth is at your feet. Can I just ask you? You say, oh, that's too much. That's too radical. She didn't have to do that. What about reverse? What was Jesus doing? Jesus was going to the cross and let down himself for Mary or for you. Does that worth it? You pay $100 and you get a candy. Is it worth it? Of course it's not worth it. You would never do it unless you see it is worth it. But Jesus did it. Why? Because it was worth it. No? Because it was worth it. Right? Jesus went to the cross, let down his self and die because to him it was worth it. Now, reverse that story. Mary laying down lifetime saving, $50,000, alabaster jar, pouring at the feet of Jesus. Is it worth it? I think that's for you to answer. In my conviction and understanding from this scripture, to Mary, she did it because he was worth it. He was worth it. He was worth it. We sang it all the time, don't we? You're worthy, worthy. May that not be an empty worship, people. May that not be an empty worship. You're worth it. You're worth it. Worth what? Worth what? Candy? Worth what? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Or else you're not going to follow. You're just talker. You're just talker. You're just talker like Judas. He said, unless, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. You're going to have to deny ourselves. But unless you see the worth of Christ, you will never deny yourself. Which means you will never follow him. It's kind of interesting. If you did a study in Matthew and Mark, this particular story in Mark chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 26, which is way toward the end, what follows that is Judas go and sell Jesus for 30 silver coins. 300 denarii versus 30 silver coins. One who pours, wastes everything, and the other go and sell Jesus for 30 silver coins. Why? So that he will die. One of the things that I notice as I study John's gospel this time around is that the atmosphere of the gospel is people wanted to kill Jesus all along, starting from chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way to 19 and finally succeed and kill him. They just need to find a way to do it. And how do they find a way to do it? Because of Judas. Judas selling Jesus for 30 silver coin. Okay, So what is this story about? Let me just close. How will she be able to do it? I think we already talked about that. She was at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of Christ. With what kind of attitude? At the feet of Jesus kind of attitude. What did she hear? She heard the gospel. What did she experience? Power, transformation, and tears, and the promise of resurrection. How much did she believe? Did she believe? That's for you to judge. Okay? But if you're looking at her response, I think she felt he was worth it. He was worth it. Okay? I think this first story of the Passion Week is the climactic response to the gospel. And we like to have many options. None of the above, all of the above, B and C. We own all these different options, but the choice is two. One is Mary, the other one is Judas. That's it. That's it. So don't try to make any other options. One is Mary and the other one is Judas. Climactic response to the gospel with love and hate. I think that's what this is teaching. I think about what is God doing in this pandemic? What's the time indicator? This pandemic. What is God doing right now? Why did he bring, I shouldn't say bring, allow pandemic now? I think Jesus is calling Mary's. And we will never do it. Oh, Mary did it, so you should do it. That's not the message. We will never do it unless we see the worth of it. I think knowing you, Graham Kendrick really understood that message. Knowing you. Right? My brothers and sisters, this is the climactic response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that's why this story must be told wherever this gospel is must be told. Because this is the gospel story. And my prayer is, at the end of our lives, okay, that he will say, wow, he did a beautiful thing. She did a beautiful thing. That was a beautiful life. People may say, oh, that was a waste. Why did you waste it? But may God say, you're looking at your life and mine. That was a beautiful life. Let's pray.